get my...
That's right. Bet you. All right. If the congregation would turn in their Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you so much, Nora. I think I even have to preach. Yeah, you got it. Thank you for that. Ephesus was a very important city. It was a wealthy city. It was a city that contained the Temple of Artemis. There were a lot of idol worships in that city. It was also a congregation that was blending environment and called to be distinct from it. And so Paul wrote this because as we learned about Ephesus, Paul also saw a time coming when there would be savage wolves, he called them, that would appear harmless but fully intent on destroying God's people. So it's a challenge to a church. Live in a time of prosperity with a lot of idols to choose from, and Paul has a word for them. You can follow along. We're reading Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin. So if you have your Bibles with you, the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1818, 1818. 1818. It's called Instructions for Christian Living. Hear then, insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with him. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. We are all of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. Work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawl, slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This congregation is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You probably have this too, but I am already living life well. We said the greatest compliment anybody can receive is that you're a godly man, a godly woman. That person is representing Jesus Christ in a unique way. That person is willing to pay a high price for following Jesus. And I'm even more amazed when I see little glimpses of in and through people when they do this, not grudgingly because I have to, it's my duty in Jesus Christ, but because I get to do that. There is an unfiltered joy that comes with serving Jesus Christ. As these people practice godliness, they live into the phrase that Paul used. We read this last week in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. they live into that meaning. They put their hope in God without any, no strings attached, not serve Christ for the benefit that I get out of it, but for what I can give to others. They take up their cross and follow him, and they take up their cross, not first asking, where is this cross going to take me? What is it that you're going to demand of me? What can I do? But they're saying, I will go wherever you send me, Lord, no matter what. In joy and in sorrow, I am going to follow you. That is a life of godliness, and it is impressive when we see that being lived out in a man, a woman, a boy, and a girl. It's a beautiful thing. I was reading this week about a woman in India. Her name is Danmaya. She heard the good news in a culture of where many gods are served, and you have a God in every area, in every family, in every person, a plethora of gods to serve. And she heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and she was at a point in time when, by the Spirit's work on her heart, she said, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to please. And she felt God's love coming through. And she willingly received the gospel and committed her life to Jesus Christ. First, her husband tolerated it. He said, this is just a phase that you are going through. I'll allow you to do that, but please don't let anybody know that you are a Christian. But she couldn't help herself. As she learned about who Jesus was and the truth claims that he made, she could not keep it to herself. And faith did not stay the same. It could not be contained quietly within her own frame. She kept sharing it at home, and she realized she was no longer a Hindu, and she said, I want to be baptized. I want to give testimony to what Jesus is doing in me. I want to die to him and be raised to Jesus Christ. Her husband did not take kindly to that. He then ordered her to give it up, and she said, I will not. And eventually, he threw her out of the house, and in a culture like that. To make matters worse, her commitment to follow Jesus Christ, her said, we disown you until you disown the name of Jesus Christ. You're making our Brahmin caste system the very highest. You're making that look bad. I'm not going to take you back unless you renounce Jesus Christ. Had no place. And guess what? Her spiritual church family also suffering immensely in that culture said, we're going to take care of you. So she was living with her sister in a very small room, one room house, and it was very hot and musty, and it was just a difficult place to live. Now, you would think, go to her, you would find a very trodden down, depressed, but you step into that room and you feel Jesus Christ alive and well in the witness of that woman whose heart is so full of joy. Oh, life isn't easy for her, and she makes no pretense that tomorrow is going to be easy, but there is such joy in Jesus Christ. Now, I find that interesting, that that is something that I look at and it speaks to me. She's not bitter or angry. She is full of the joy of Jesus Christ, and it challenges my faith, my half-hearted pursuit of holiness, my practice of godliness, when I have advantages in life. And I ask myself, am I willing to surrender everything to follow Jesus Christ? Does my life and faith exhibit the same qualities that you see in someone like Danmaya, who has forsaken all, who has nothing but possesses the whole world because she has Jesus Christ? See, Paul's not messing around when he says, at the beginning of chapter 4, he says, I urge you, live a life worthy of a calling. So I urge you. In verse 17, he says, I insist, you must no longer live. I insist you. There is something in his voice that says, come on, people, we can do this. You need to do this. He's not messing around. Don't live a lie, he says to them, just to consider the idea of maybe not walking with the Gentiles, not being like the culture around you. Don't consider that maybe I won't do that. No, I want you, I insist in the Lord that you not walk like the culture around you. Now, for Danmaya, that means that now that you're the Lord, now that you are God, don't even think about going back and following the Hindu gods. You think there's any temptation for her to do so? Do you think at a certain, she's so pressed that she would say, I'm just going to do it. Forgive me, Lord. He says, no, don't. And why? Why not? Because those gods promise you everything, but they give you nothing. Now, we're living in a little different context, but I think the message is still the same for us. It's so easy to the lie, to become like the culture around us. Don't you feel that pressure? Boys and girls, I don't know what your school's like, but maybe your classmates don't want you to be talking about it. Keep that to yourself, hear about you. In fact, your classmates might even get angry with you because they see Christianity. They've been told that Christianity is not a very nice religion. They want you to stop. But Paul says, don't even think about it. Why? He gives a description of the word, of the world here. They're darkened in their understanding. Verse 18, Jesus, the light of the world, steps down into darkness. It says in John 1, but the darkness does not understand it, does not comprehend it. They are separated. That's the biggest problem. Separated from the life of God that is in them. Ignorant of God's promises. Their hearts have not been off to the truth. The Gentiles in Ephesus are trying to find meaning in anything that they can find in the temples, in a prosperous kind of a life. It's a little bit like taking an arrow and you put that back and you say, okay, I'm going to shoot that arrow. Wherever that lands, that's what I'm going to worship. So easy to do. If I just had a little bit more money, then I'll follow Jesus Christ, and pretty soon we're worshiping money. It can be fame. If I just was noticed and I find meaning in them, then I'll be happy. Maybe it's a relationship that we're looking for. We say, if I could just have this person in my life, then I will be complete and find everything that I need. It doesn't work. You cannot draw your meaning to be like that. That is meaningless. That is futile, says Paul. What you need to do instead is live the truth. Don't live a lie, but live the truth. You didn't learn about life when you heard about Jesus Christ and were taught in Him in accordance in the truth. A very important phrase. Jesus Christ, who came into the world, who lived, who suffered, who died, who rose again, so that we could live an abundant life. That's why Jesus came in the world. He wants the full, and don't pretend that fullness is having everything you want when you want it. As Danmaya shows us, she had nothing, but she had it. Jesus is not merely a truth among a lot of competing truths. He is the truth. He is not just truth mixed in with hidden agendas. He's not just enough truth to lure you only to spring the trap. You get Jesus, you'll have everything, but you want Jesus and other things. No. Anyone who is in Jesus Christ, says Paul, is creation. The old is gone and new will come. Jesus said in him, if you hold my teachings, you really are my disciples, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul expressed this as a living relationship with the Lord. That's the hard thing to describe. Being in Jesus Christ is living the truth. In other words, like using the articles of clothing, that we are trying to become more and more like Jesus Christ. To become and do what Jesus has commissioned us to do. Dan Maya continues to live a very difficult life, but by God's grace, she continues to mature. See, for her wisdom and power that we need for godly living, a life that pleases God, are found in Jesus Christ alone. That's what it means, taking on the nature of Christ more and more every day. Learning the discipline of putting on off the old, taking on the new. Now, this is not easy for her. Can you imagine forgiving a husband who has kicked you out of the house, who despises you, disowns you? That's a hard thing to do, so it's not easy. Don't pretend it is. But as she continued to live in Christ, she learned to forgive. She prays for him. She prays for also the new that he has taken on. She wants them to know Jesus Christ so that the truth can set them free as it set her free as well. So Paul paraphrases this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is come and more every day. So what shall we do with all? If the power for godly living comes from Christ, yet, as we said, godliness, the pursuit of it, means we have to do the work. God does it for us. He gives us the strength, but we do the work. Of how the catechism talks about this. In fact, just before it introduces us to the Ten Commandments, in question and answer 86, it says, since we have our misery by the grace of God through Christ alone, with merit of our own, why? Why do we have to continue doing good works? The answer, and I want to invite you to say this with me. You can read that, so that, what's the answer? Because Christ, having redeemed. You know what we just said there? To put it in a nutshell, we've been saved by Jesus Christ. We're being renewed every day to represent Jesus Christ to the world. By our godly walk, we say thank you to God for all that he has done, all that he is doing, all that he will continue to do until the day that he calls us home. So what does that mean for us? I think there's applications for individuals and then for those as a church. As individuals, we need to pursue godliness with everything that we have. You cannot live the Christian life in neutral. You need to engage in it, as we mentioned last week. I think that's why Paul says, I insist, you must no longer live. The word is walk. It's a destination in our life. We are walking somewhere. And what is somewhere that we're walking to? We're walking to become more like Jesus Christ every day. So we need to let our light shine so that, not so that people can say, now there is a person that I want to be. I see Jesus Christ living in and through that person. So as individuals, I just ask you again, are you in the regular habit of frequent checks with God, checking in with God regularly as you live your ordinary everyday life? Are you grieving or pleasing the Spirit? Kind of summarizing that last section, which we won't get into detail, but that last section, are you pleasing the Holy Spirit? Are you nursing grudges in your life? Is there somebody that always, always you are at odds with? And you just don't like that person? Or are you quick to forgive? Are we reflecting God's treatment of us to others, or do we have different standards for other people than we do for ourselves? How are you using your tongues? Are your words encouraging to others, or are you tearing them down? Are we using your hands and feet? Are you stealing? Are you receiving so that you can give generously to others who have needs? As a church, sometime I wonder, how are we, God's people, moving in the world? Are we moving with the world, or are we moving the world? Are we speaking truth to lies? Are we speaking truth to lies in the educational system? It's chaotic. Are we representing the truth in schools of our world? Are we ready to live like way? Least among us, those who are left out, those who are marginalized, are we ready to live in a Christ-like way? Are we standing? Are we voicing truth on behalf of the tiniest, weakest image bearers in our midst? Are we church representing the idea that a woman is only free if she's free to rid herself of an unwanted child? Are we ready to shine our light on the truth of biological sex? The truth affirmed by the scripture that if you were born as a man, are we ready to stand by that no matter what happens? I'm not saying that in a mean way, but represent truth in a loving way, in a very frank way. You see, holiness matters. It makes a difference. It makes a difference right here. Makes a difference right here. It makes a difference out there. I urge us, by God's grace, worthy of the calling we have received, let your life shine no matter what. Carry that torch bravely and with joy. Amen. Prayer of application. I'm just quoting a song that I think in the 90s came out. I think it just captures well a prayer and a praise that we need to offer and a way of living life. So it's from a song called Let It Be Said of Us. That the Lord was our passion, that with gladness we bore every given. We fought the good fight and we finished the course, knowing within us the power of the risen Lord. Let it be said of us, we were marked by forgiveness. We were known by our love and delighted in mercy. We were ruled by his peace, he unity all, joined as one body that Christ would be seen by all. Father, let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. By mercy made holy, Spirit made strong. Till the likeness of Jesus be through us made known, let the cross be our glory and the Lord be our song. Amen. One of my favorite paraphrases of Romans 1 is taken from the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him in our lives. Out of the abundance of what God has given to us. And this morning we receive an offering for the major maintenance fund. This old building needs TLC, and this offering is for today. So let's thank God for our worship space and ask his continued blessing on it, that this may be the safest place for people to come and hear the good news. Amen. Father, it's with joy and thanksgiving that we offer what you have given us first, ourselves, our times, and our possession. These are signs of your gracious love in us. We give our best, lest in gaining the whole world, we lose life itself. May these gifts, not only of our words, thoughts, our times, our actions, be acceptable to you and spread your word of life and love in this humble space and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we leave this place, I want to invite you. We're going to do a quick recess and then come back. We have things that we want to communicate with all those who are involved with ministry, but for everybody too. I think it's be a good idea for everybody to come back for this reason, because it's good to hear what we need to be alert to and what we need to be challenged and hold our leaders to account for. We want this church to be afloat. Saying that, I leave it to you. Those of you who are visiting, we have lots of goodies out there. You can grab them. And 10 minutes after we say goodbye, come back in here. We hope you all stay for that. But God's blessings to you. Let's rise and hear these words. Based on Colossians 3, as God's own dear children, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and patience, forgiving each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And crown all these together in perfect harmony. Congregation of Jesus Christ, go be a blessing to the world. Let God's light shine upon you. And the blessing you receive from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with us all. Amen. Thank you.